We're His church. He bought us. Amen. This do in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to invite you to take your Bibles. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and find Proverbs chapter 10 with me, if you would. Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to, if you're doing that, we're going to get ready to give back to the Lord. And so the ushers are going to come forward. We're going to give thanks for all that He's given us. And what a privilege it is for us to give back to the Lord as we've shared the Lord's Supper, because it's a great, great reminder to us of what Jesus has done for us. So appreciate your faithfulness in giving to the Lord. Hold Proverbs chapter 10 there by your side as we get ready to, we're going to jump right into God's Word after we give back to the Lord. So let's go to Him in prayer and ask the Lord to just to bless what we give to Him today, and may it be used for His kingdom purposes. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for all that You've given us. You've given us Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, today we pray that You'll just help us, Lord, to remember what You've done for us, Lord Jesus. Thank You for the privilege of being able to observe baptism and now to be able to, having shared in the Lord's Supper, to now be able to give back to You. Lord, we pray that everyone will feel welcome in this place. We pray also, Lord, that as You use Your Word, that it will nourish us and strengthen us for this day, for each day to follow. Lord Jesus, thank You. You've blessed us in so many ways. Now take these tithes and offerings and use them for Your kingdom purposes and to make Your name known great all across this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as you're giving to the Lord, let me just remind you some things to pray about. In your program, you'll notice a number of things coming up for the summer, and summer schedule is kind of kicking in with some special opportunities for ladies. Summer Sisters is something you might want to consider signing up for, ladies, kind of these small encouragement groups and prayer groups. Registration is in the lobby. And then men, June 10th, Friday evening, we're going to have our first ever Friday at the Fire for men. You can invite your coworkers, invite your neighbors, if you have younger or littler men in your home and you want to bring them too, they are welcome to come as well. We're going to have kind of a start time around 6. If some of you are coming from work and you can't be there at 6, don't let that stress you. You just come as soon as you can. Of course, it's going to be casual. Our plan is to do it out back here, have a nice big bonfire, fire pit, and we're going to cook some supper, enjoy that together, and just have a good time with one another, food, fellowship, and of course, strengthen one another in our faith in the Lord. So I invite you to come out for that, and I hope you'll be able to do that. A lot of opportunities for children and students throughout the summer as well, so be prayerful about all those. Next Sunday in this service, we'll be recognizing our graduates, so that's going to be a real special service that you're going to get to be a part of next Sunday as well. Well, today I want to share with you a sermon I'm calling the Sermon on the Mount. You've probably heard of the Sermon on the Mount. This is what I'm calling the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to be talking about a subject that is addressed throughout the book of Proverbs. So I'm going to kind of start us off in Proverbs 10, but have your pen in hand, because you're going to be wanting to write down some other Proverbs that you can read and study on your own, because when it comes to our speech and the words that we say, Proverbs teaches us a lot. And our words are very, very important. October 8th, 1871 is a date that marks a traumatic event in the history of Chicago. It would become known as the Great Chicago Fire, and on that night, in a stable behind the home of Patrick and Catherine O'Leary, a fire started, and this fire would go on to destroy 4 square blocks of the city of Chicago. That is in the neighborhood of 34 city blocks. All those square miles destroyed, all those city blocks, and don't exactly know how the fire started. The legend became that Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over a lantern. That was actually kind of perpetrated by a Chicago Tribune reporter who wrote an article to that end. But we'll really never know how that fire started. But one thing we know for sure, though, is this, is that our tongue, our mouths, can start fires also. And fire is an interesting analogy. The book of James talks about our tongue, our mouths, our words being like a fire. And you know, fire can warm us. Fire can cook food. It can give light. But fire can damage. Fire can destroy. You know, I love cooking on the grill this time of year, and I would never dream of eating chicken raw, all right? I mean, that, you know, you don't do that unless you want to get sick. So I'm grateful for a fire where I can cook meat and I can make a nice meal. But I also have seen the news accounts of how the wildfires can destroy great parts of the western United States. And so fire can be used for good, but fire can also be very destructive and damaging. And this is what James chapter 3 tells us. James 3 is like the New Testament book in many ways of Proverbs. All right, it's a book of wisdom. Listen to this before we read Proverbs 10. James chapter 3 says this in verse 5 and following. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. I mean, folks, listen, we love to talk. We live in a nation of talk shows. I mean, they're everywhere you turn. Everybody seems to have something to say. I mean, you will say, I mean, think about how many conversations you have a day. You will, on average, have 30 conversations a day. You and I say enough words in a year to fill 66 books, 800 pages long each. The average man speaks 20,000 words a day. If you're a woman, you average 30,000 words a day. And I said earlier in the early service, I said, that's all I'm going to say about that because I preached on marriage last week, all right? So I just refer you back to last week's sermon, all right, between men and women's conversation. So words are important, though, and we need to know that. So look with me, Proverbs chapter 10. I want you to do something. Stand in honor of God's word today, if you would. I want to read three verses from Proverbs chapter 10. Take your Bible in hand. And this is a message where every single one of us needs to pay attention. Boys and girls, you're going to find yourself having to think through what you're going to say this afternoon. Students, you're going to find yourselves in situations at school where you're going to have to consider the words you say. And men and women, you know that's true. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 and following. Here's what God's word says. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. Here's the point. The point is your words matter. Your words are precious. They're like gold and silver. Your words are powerful. They can tear down or they can build up. So today I want us to talk about two styles of speech and ask God to give us the strength, the power, and the ability to talk like He wants us to. So let's pray. Father, I pray right now that You're going to help us to learn these styles of speech. Lord, help us to choose Your way. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing in Your sight. Lord, help us this day to apply Your word to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you're seated, take a pen in hand and take out a piece of paper. I've got some sermon notes there in your program for you. I want you, first of all, to understand wicked words. I want to talk to you about wicked words. That's the first style of speech. And wicked words tear down. And the book of Proverbs gives us several descriptions of what I would call wicked words. So I want you to write down these wicked words that you need to be aware of. And I'm going to kind of point you to some different proverbs. If you can turn there in your Bible, look there and write down some of these proverbs. The first type of wicked word I want you to be aware of is what I would call profane words. Or perverted words, profane or perverted words. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 12 warns us about these type of words. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 12. Now, what I'm talking about is the type of words maybe that you heard this past week on the hallways of your public high school. Maybe they're words that you've heard when you were going to college years ago. Maybe you've heard these words at a football game or a basketball game. Maybe you hear these in the workplace when someone is talking in kind of a crass or vulgar way. One of the things, I can't think of anything much more unattractive with a lady than hearing a lady use cursing, profane language. All right? I mean, to me, it's just, that's just, you know, absolutely, you know, not what I would be expecting to come out of a lady's mouth. Now, guys, before you think we don't need to be concerned here, I know a lot of times guys will say, well, you know what? Listen, that's just the way I talk. Or, you know, sometimes I get kind of worked up and I'll let a word fly. Or, you know, I hit my thumb with a hammer. It just kind of comes out. Well, you know, understand this, men. We take to heart here profanity in our lives, cursing words. To me, it sends this big signal. We haven't read enough books. We need to get a good dictionary. If we can't improve our vocabulary beyond base curse words and profanity, we've got a lot to learn. You see, wicked words tear down. And profane, perverted words, they don't just tear down other people, and they can, and they often do. But let me tell you who they tear down. They tear us down. They tear down the person who's saying them. Because when you hear profane, perverted language, that's not a good reflection of the kind of character God wants us to have. So profane words are wicked words. They're words that can tear down. But there's a second type of wicked word I want you to know about today. It's what I call lying words. Lying words. And Proverbs gives several warnings about lying. Proverbs chapter 12. Take your Bible and let's look there. I'm going to show you several Proverbs in chapter 12. Proverbs 12 verse 19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. You understand that telling the truth is foundational to a civilized society. I mean, our court system, if you ever go into court and you have to testify, you will be asked to swear and to take an oath that you will tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Proverbs 12:19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Look down at verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. You see, when our words can't be trusted, when we can't be counted on to tell the truth, society begins to fall apart. Contracts are useless. Promises are in vain. The judicial system is a joke. Friendships are a farce. Lying words are wicked words. And the Bible here says in Proverbs 12, verse 22, that they're an abomination to the Lord. Let me help you understand what that means. God hates lying. Proverbs chapter 6 lists several things that God hates. Two of the top seven things the Bible says God hates have to do with lying. Why does God hate lying so much? It's because it absolutely goes against His character. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, and then Jesus said, I am the truth. Our God is a God of absolute truth. In John chapter 8, verse 44, the evil one, the devil himself, is described as the father of lies. You go back in the early part of the book of Genesis and you see that first conversation between the evil one and Adam and Eve. What is he doing? He's lying. He's twisting the truth. And you begin to see the impact that has on Adam and Eve, their relationship with God and even their relationship with each other. Lying words are wicked words. Thirdly, slandering words are wicked words. Now you might wonder, what's the difference between lying words and slandering words? You see, slandering words are about people. Here I'm talking about bearing false witness against your neighbor. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16 tells us not to bear false witness. Tells us not to slander our neighbor. Look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. Slandering. Talking about a person in a way that drags them down and tears them down. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 18 gives a picture of what it's like to slander somebody. Gives us a picture of the harm that slanderers do. It says this in Proverbs 25, 18, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. Picture the damage there that is done when we slander another person. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 19 tells us that sometimes a slander will try to play it off like they're joking. Well, I didn't really mean that. I was just joking. You know how I am. Hey, here's the deal. Slandering somebody is no joke. It's no joke. It's wicked. It's wicked. It tears people down. Number four is gossiping words. Gossiping words are wicked words. Now, gossip is in the Proverbs multiple times. We are warned about gossip. And it got me to thinking, why in the Bible does the Bible talk so much about gossip? Because remember, your faith and your walk in the Lord isn't just about you and the Lord. It is about you and the Lord, but your walk with the Lord also involves other people. It involves your family, it involves this church, it involves your neighbors. And I'm telling you, gossip is something that can tear families, friends, tear them apart, and it can bring great harm to a church fellowship. So we need to be warned about gossip. Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs chapter 26, Proverbs chapter 6, they all mention gossip. I want to zero in on Proverbs 18. It talks about a gossip. Proverbs 18, verse 8. Because I want you to get why gossip is something to be warned about and to be cautious about, because gossip is something, if we're not careful, we enjoy. Proverbs 18, 8 says it like this. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. You see, gossip is hard for us to resist. The Proverbs picture gossip a lot like a hot now Krispy Kreme donut. Man, they are just hard to resist. And you know, maybe you don't care for hot now Krispy Kreme donuts. Here's what's so rough about hot now Krispy Kreme donuts. It's like, if you like them like me, or maybe Lay's potato chips is your thing, man, you get one, and it's like, what does it do? Does it really fill you? No. What does it make you want? It makes you want a little bit more, doesn't it? And then all of a sudden, you've eaten a dozen hot now Krispy Kreme donuts, and you're curled up in fetal position crying, right? You know what I'm talking about? You know? And so listen, the warning here is this, is don't gossip, because you know what? It's real easy to find somebody who'll be glad to be real happy to listen. And we even baptize gossip. I got a prayer request to share with you. Have you heard about so-and-so? Folks, I'm telling you, gossiping words are wicked words. Number five, write this one down. Flattering words. Proverbs talks about flattering words. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 28. Verse 28 says, a lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Now let me tell you the difference between gossip and flattery. Gossip is saying behind a person's back what you would never say to his face. Did you get that? Gossip is saying behind a person's back what you would never say to his face. Let me tell you what flattery is here. Now, when you think of flattery, first, you know, I'm not talking about encouraging someone. I'm not talking about complimenting someone. I'm not talking about coming and saying, you know what, man, I really appreciated that. I'm talking about insincere flattery. If gossip is saying behind a person's back what you would never say to their face, here's flattery. It's saying to a person's face what you would never say behind their back. That's flattery. You get it? It's saying to their face what you would never say behind their back. Flattering words are wicked words. They tear down. So be warned about these wicked words that tear down our relationships with one another, that tear down relationships in families and among friends and in the workplace and in your school and where you find yourself this afternoon and tomorrow. And then sixth, there's another type of wicked word I want to warn you about that tears down. And we're going to talk more about this in its own subject in a few weeks. It's the whole issue of anger, angry words. Proverbs talks a lot about taming your temper and kind of having self-control. In fact, next Sunday, our adult Bible study groups on Sunday morning, you will begin to study the fruit of the Spirit. And the Fruit of the Spirit study will be fantastic for you, because in the Fruit of the Spirit, you'll learn, for instance, about self-control. You're going to learn about gentleness and kindness and patience and all these things that need to describe us as the body of Christ. And angry words are words that show that we've just gone out of control. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Wicked words, folks. Wicked words tear down. You need to understand, wicked words are powerful, and they can damage, and they can destroy. I want to give you an example of wicked words, of just how damaging, how costly, how horrific wicked words can be, how they can tear down. For every single word that he wrote in his book, Mein Kampf, 125 people died in World War II. People still study Adolf Hitler and his ability as an orator and a public speaker, because many historians believe that it was actually his ability to use words and as a public speaker that led to his rise in Germany and led him to have the ability and the power to attempt to exterminate races of people, led to the murder of millions and the loss of so many lives. Actually, last evening, late last night, I went on YouTube, and I just to remind myself of the power of words, I went and I watched a few minutes of Adolf Hitler's, some of his speeches. And they're in German. I don't speak German or read German, so I didn't get it. But you could see how these folks were captivated and responded to his words. But mark it down, folks, they were wicked words. And wicked words tear down. Solomon was right in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So I'm telling you, we need to know how to go from wicked words to what I call wise words. Wise words. You see, wicked words tear down, but there's a second style of speech that you can have. It's what I call wise words. And wise words build up. Wise words build up. So how can you speak wise words? Saying wise words that build up requires that we use care when we speak. Speech that builds up seeks to be careful in its communication and not careless in its communication. So what I want to do is I've taken the word care, and I want to give you four speech lessons on how you can use care when you speak so you can have wise words that build up. And they're based on, these lessons are based on the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. I read that at the beginning of the sermon. Go back to that verse, Proverbs 10, 19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. You ought to underline this proverb. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Let me tell you what the C is for. Consider your words. In Proverbs 10:19, we are warned about shooting our mouth off too much and too fast and without a lot of thought. I'm talking about thinking before we speak. We need to contemplate before we communicate. That's what I'm trying to say to you today. We need to consider our words. When the words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Boys and girls, it's as simple as basic math. The more you talk, the higher the probability, or more the likelihood, the more you talk, that you're going to say something you shouldn't have said. So I'm telling you, think before you speak. Consider your words carefully. Contemplate before you communicate. I was in the book, Lincoln on Leadership. They make this point about Abraham Lincoln. When we think of Abraham Lincoln, we think of someone who was a great public speaker. I mean, kids still memorize the Gettysburg Address. I guess they still do in our schools. I mean, we've got it posted there at the Lincoln Memorial. I mean, he was known for his skills as an orator. He led a nation with moving words. Yet, listen to what Lincoln said. You know what his strategy in the 1960 election was? He says this quote. In 1962, he made this statement reflecting on his strategy when it came to words. He said, quote, "In my present position, it is hardly proper for me to make speeches. Every word is so closely noted that it will not do to make trivial ones." I think we need to take President Lincoln's advice there and not make trivial statements. talking about thinking before we speak. Consider your words. You know, computers have spell check. What we need to have in our lives, we need to have speech check. That's what we need to have. So consider your words. But not only do that, you know, we need some supernatural help. That brings me to letter A. Ask the Lord for help. We need to ask the Lord for help when it comes to the words that we're going to say. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Ask the Lord for help. We need supernatural help when it comes to what we're going to say. Let me give you a prayer to say. This will be a good verse to memorize. This will be a good prayer for you to say at the beginning of every day. Psalm 141, verse 3. Here's the prayer. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. We need to guard our lips and the words of our mouth even more than we would guard the doors on the front door of our houses. We need to ask the Lord for help. Sidlow Baxter makes this statement. The proof that God's Spirit is in your life is not that you speak in an unknown tongue, but that you control the tongue that you do know. Folks, I'm telling you, our words can tear down or our words can build up. So you need to consider your words. But I need more help than just thinking about it. I need supernatural power. I need to ask the Lord for help. And Jesus told us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, He said, there may come times where you're going to actually be anxious about what you're going to say in response to certain things, but you can depend on the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say. So folks, let's ask the Lord for help. Watch your words. God will give you and me the power not to slander. He'll give us the power not to lie. He'll give us the power not to exaggerate. Getting into God's Word, by the way, is part of asking God for help. I think about what Colossians says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So we need to consider our words. We need to ask the Lord for help. But then there's an action on our part. There's something you and I need to do. It's a matter of our will, and by the Holy Spirit's help, it can be a reality. Here it is, letter R, refuse to speak evil. You see, you and I, we just need to refuse to speak evil. We've got to determine within our wills that, you know what, it is absolutely wicked. And I didn't say wrong words. I used the word wicked, all right? I said wicked words, lying words, slandering words, gossiping words. Folks, let's call it what God calls it. He calls it an abomination. It's wickedness. So we need to just refuse it. We need to refuse to speak evil. There's so many things in our lives that we've learned to say, you know what, I don't need that. I'm going to refuse that. And we need to refuse wicked words. We just need to refuse to speak evil. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I mean, I'm sure we would all agree that there's no way we would want to take a sword or some weapon and stab our mate or wound our children or harm our neighbor or slash a brother or sister in Christ. But there are times Proverbs teaches us that we do it with our words. You know, I think about that old saying, you know, you've heard it before, you know, sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know who said that? Somebody didn't know what he's talking about. That's who said that. Because words do hurt. Words do harm. Words do damage. So we need to refuse to speak evil. But you say, well, you know, relationships can get complicated, Brian. I mean, what if there's an issue between me and somebody? What am I supposed to do about it? Well, Matthew chapter 18, for instance. Matthew 18 talks to us about how we're to go to a person and try to talk with them. And is that hard? Is that easy? No, it's not easy. Let me just give you the bottom line of Matthew chapter 18. Deal with a matter of conflict as privately as possible. And understand this too, you know, that at times as pastors in this church, we will advise and we work with folks on dealing with interpersonal situations and problems and relationships. And you just need to know this. there's no way I can always explain to you publicly what's going on with somebody, because I'm their pastor too. And that's what we need to pray for one another, because I tell you what, our words, our speculation, gossip, slandering, all those things are not of the Lord. So let's choose wise words. Refuse to speak evil. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Pray for one another. Let me give you a phrase. Learn these words. Forgive me. Learn that phrase. Please forgive me. And then learn this phrase. Part two, I forgive you. Those are two phrases that I'd say, let's get in our vocabulary. Please forgive me. And then learn, I do forgive you. We've got to refuse to speak evil. And then finally, understand this. Understand. I want to point you to Jesus, because I don't want this just to be kind of a positive thinking, just kind of a life lessons talk that, you know, you could get from anybody. I want to point you now to Jesus as a minister of the gospel. And that's why finally I want to tell you, exalt Christ. You got to exalt Christ. I think about the Apostle Paul before he came to Christ and Jesus Christ became his Lord. Man, he used words to tear down. He spoke wicked words, but then he would go to speak wise words and to build up people. I mean, over half the New Testament is God's word coming through the Apostle Paul. You see, what has to happen is for us to have a new mouth, it has to start with us having a new heart. I think about Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31. Rid yourself of all the offenses you've committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. How do you get a new heart? Well, the Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new person. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You and I need to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit and according to His Word, we can live in Christ. In Psalm 51, the psalmist cries out, create in me a clean heart. See, it starts with us exalting Christ and us putting our faith and our trust and us surrendering our lives to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then day in and day out, it is us determining, Jesus, I'm following you today. I'm going to follow you in this. I like this. This sounds like an old country saying. I like it, though. Painting the outside of the pump doesn't make any difference if there's poison in the well. So we've got to deal, first of all, with the poison in the well. Surrendering our lives. Confessing Christ as our Lord and Savior is how it starts. You see, no man can tame the wicked tongue. No man his soul can save. Only God can cleanse the heart and make the tongue behave. I was reading on the news yesterday that we are now living in the year where the most people have been killed by tornadoes since 1950. I wrote it down. 523 people have been killed so far in this year by tornadoes. If you're like me, I've watched the damage in the news reports, and it'll feel like every day I turn on the television, boom, there's a tornado hit. This past week, I happened to turn on the weather in the news, and I saw a tornado ripping through Oklahoma City, and I have a friend that I serve on a seminary board of trustees with who pastors just east of Oklahoma City, and I saw that tornado so close to there, and my heart and my thoughts, my prayers just went out to Todd and his family and his church and our brothers and sisters in Christ there. And of course, you've seen the pictures from Joplin and Missouri and all that. But you know, what we are much more at risk of having happen in our lives and in our community than a tornado causing that kind of destruction is a whirlwind of our words damaging and destroying lives. So today I want to ask you, as we get ready to close our service, We shared in the Lord's Supper today, which is a picture of us having a right relationship with the Lord and having a right relationship with one another. I want to ask us to just come before the Lord and say, Lord, search my heart. If there's any wicked words in my vocabulary, if there's any wicked words in my heart, if there's any wicked behavior in my life of how I use my words, Lord God, number one, forgive me, and then Lord God, transform me, change me, change me. And that begins, that transformation begins with you trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you have never, ever yielded your life to Jesus Christ and asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and put your trust in Him, forsaking your sins and being the Lord of your own life and putting your faith and trust in Christ and accepting what He's done for your sins, during this song, I'm going to invite you. You come forward, and we're going to pray with you. We're going to encourage you, Lord. We're going to make sure we know your name and how we can encourage you in the weeks and months to come. You may be here today, and just as we had at the 9:30 service, you feel led to have come and become an official part of this church family. You can come forward during the song, and we'll pray with you about that. We're going to get your name and some information so we can also encourage you in that decision to become an official part of this church family. And you may be here today, though, and you just know, maybe you had some words in the car on the way to church. You know what, folks? During the song or right after the service, maybe when you get in the car, you may just have to look at your mate and say, hey, hon, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pop off like that on the way to church, you know. Forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. You know, I was acting in the flesh. I wasn't honoring the Lord in that. Or, hey, kids, you know what? I didn't mean to lose my temper. I shouldn't have lost my temper like that. You know, I've asked God to forgive me. I want to ask you to forgive me. And then you can think through as a family. Maybe it's on Saturday evening. You know, you're going to get the clothes picked out. You're going to try to take a little bit of the stress out of coming to church. I mean, folks, let's get honest with each other. Love your family, and you can make things right. And then let's ask God to give us wise words when it comes to one another. Let's ask God to give us wise words when it comes to one another. Words that build each other up and not wicked words that would ever tear us down. May God use the Proverbs to prepare us to speak the truth in love to one another. We pray for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for being here with us today and giving us your word. And Lord, I just rejoice to say thank you for the sweet spirit in this place, how you've been honored in our services this weekend. Lord, I think about at the wedding yesterday that we had here, the words and covenant and commitment and promise that were made. Words were spoken, marriage vows were spoken. Lord, I know sometimes we use words in a bad way. Lord, you spoke creation into existence. You used words to make them. Lord, you used your words. Help us know. Lord Jesus, it was your word to the cross that reassured us that your grace was available to us. It was your words in the cross that looked at the thief and said, today with me, you'll be in paradise. You're forgiven. Lord, it's your word that has told us of your great love for us. That while we were sinners, that you died for us. Lord, help us to love you and to love others with our words. God, what a witness we'll be. What a witness we'll be to the world. And what an encouragement we'll be to each other when we speak wise words that build up. Oh, God, search our hearts. Search our hearts, Lord. Help us to respond to you. Lord, may we trust the resurrection power that we trust to save us from our sins. May we trust that same resurrection power to transform our sins. We can rise, Lord Jesus. We can say the words you want us to say. Oh, Lord Jesus, redeem our sins, I pray, Christ. Let's stand together. We're going to sing.